Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and obviously anybody who listens to this show knows that aside from the humor and some of the music and the topical stuff that we do, very, very interested and in love with the theater on this program, and have a weekly Inside Broadway segment, and we try to bring in theater people and cabaret people as often as I can. Well, this particular person, our special guest tonight, has done both sides of that fence. He's done theater, and he's even a Drama Desk Award winner, or, and...
Nominee.
Oops. Oh, he's just a nominee?
I should have won, damn it.
Yeah, no, he didn't win. I don't know if we'll even... Well, we'll continue. You're already on the phone, so we might as well keep you.
But for the interview.
Also doing a lot of cabaret stuff. And the main thing is, if you know who he is, you know how to pronounce his name, G-R-A-A-E, which is pronounced Gra. Jason Gra. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Nice, Dave. Nice intro. Thank you.
Really wasn't a nice intro. I'm sorry. I could do better.
No, it's great. Actually, you gave me more, you know, more kind of credit than I'm worth.
Oh, that's right. I gave you an award that was swiped away from you. And for a show that was really quite enjoyable. He was in Hello Mudda, Hello Fada.
That's right.
Off-Broadway, and you got a nice little nod for that. You did win a 2006 Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle Award.
It's true.
What was that for?
You know what? It was for my presence, my just me being me.
Well, now, I have to say, you said in the pre-interview here that you heard of me. I mean, you know my name, which could be from a couple of different places. But
well, I definitely have heard of your show.
Oh, wow.
But well, I also feel that you said, do you remember how you know me?
Okay.
And I said, did we sleep together?
And then
you said, no.
That's highly unlikely. Well, we didn't sleep. We did some other stuff. No, I'm kidding. First of all, I'm amazed that you know of my show. I think that's delightful. I'm thrilled.
Well, I've had some friends on it, like Christine Petty.
Oh, yes.
Very good friend of mine.
She was delightful.
Yeah. And there was somebody else I know, but I can't remember.
Well, I'm so glad that the word is getting around about the program. But and you may have
other guests that you have had on here I knew, too.
Like Fibish Finkel. And I know you slept with him, so that's kind of a... No, I kid. You may have heard of me because for about 5 years I also was the chief writer and editor of Playbill, the website. I don't make much of that because I have issues, but you probably read my stuff or something like that.
Absolutely.
But that's not where you really first know me from.
Okay.
And it's where I first know you from, when you were just a little springling of an actor. I don't even know if that word is correct or exists. And what was your first musical that you did?
My first musical in New York was Godspell.
Oh, what year was that?
At Equity Library Theater in 1981.
Okay, and where were you before that?
Before that, let's see, I did...
This is beyond thinking of me now. Believe it or not, we're actually shifting the conversation back to you. I rarely do that. Usually the show is about me, but in this particular case,
okay,
I'm winding up.
It's nice of you to share the limelight just a little bit, Dave.
Just a little, yeah.
Well, I went to school at Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and then I came to New York after that.
So you didn't have a theater background, you had a musical background then?
Well, it was a musical theater background, Dave.
Oh, well.
You know, at first I was an oboe major at school at SMU in Dallas.
You were an oboe major? I've never heard of it. Wow.
It's true. And I hated my oboe teacher, and I hated making the reeds. And you have to sit, and, you know, oboists have to make their own reeds. Clarinetists don't have to. And as soon as some do, some don't.
How do you make a reed? What do you go to, like, a head shop and you get rolling papers? And
if it was only that fun, I'd still be an oboist.
But
no, sadly, you do have to get little rolling papers for or little cigarette papers or something to once the reed is made to test it out. But no, you have to send away for all this stuff. They ship you cane and they ship you these little corks.
Oh,
and these little piping things, and thread, and a special kind of thread, and you sit there and wrap these little reeds, and they say that for every 20 reeds that you wrap for an oboe reed, one is actually playable.
Oh, for good.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you can imagine this did not sit well for me. Like after orchestra and band practice at SMU, my first year in Dallas, Texas, and the whole like band would go out afterwards for beers, and I had to go back to my dorm room to make reeds. I don't think so.
Well, reading is fundamental, you know, so thank you very much. So you gave up the oboe quick, didn't you?
I did. I gave it up really quick, and I transferred to Cincinnati, actually where I was going to double major in oboe and musical theater, but my oboe teacher that I hated from SMU transferred to Cincinnati the same year I transferred.
Oh, no.
So I took that as a sign to put down the oboe and pick up the score to Hello, Dolly.
Okay.
So I became a musical theater major.
And did you ever play Dolly Levi? Or
I haven't yet.
I can see you being Cornelius, you know, the kid, the young...
Barnaby?
Yeah.
I auditioned for Barnaby, you know, when I got to New York, and that was one of my first auditions, and Kevin Wright beat me out of it.
Who did? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Kevin Wright was his name. And I was very bitter about it, and now I hear Kevin's teaching school in Ohio.
And you're still
Dave.
You're still there, you know. And you're,
I'm still here.
You're still here. Now we go back to 1981, and you were doing, as you said, Godspell.
Right.
And then after Godspell, what did you do?
I did a show at Goodspeed Opera House.
All right.
Bloomer Girl.
Okay. Were you the Bloomer Girl? No, I'm kidding.
I was definitely not. And, then, I think this might be what you're getting at.
Yes.
I did, sadly, do black patent leather shoes really reflect up.
Why sadly?
Well, it didn't last very long.
Oh, okay. But it was Broadway, wasn't it?
It was my Broadway debut.
Uh-huh.
And that part was really exciting. Is this how we know each other?
Nope. You're close, but no, it wasn't a flop. Okay. We know each other from a hit.
Oh. Okay.
Wow, you really... I thought I was one of the more memorable characters in people's lives, and this is such a depressing moment for me.
Well,
not that you're depressing for me. You're absolutely delightful. And I remembered that, too. I remember of all the folks involved in the whole process of a show that you haven't mentioned yet.
Okay.
You were one of the most cheerful and sweet and nice folks.
So it had to be Snoopy.
No, it's not Snoopy. And who'd you play, Snoopy?
Yeah.
No, well, I can see you with Snoopy.
Okay.
Well, also, this is a good way of telling all the folks what you've been in, by the way.
Wow, but it's a little probably mundane. Wait a sec. So, I'm just trying to think. Crosstown Bus?
Crosstown? I don't know. Well, there was a show called Crosstown Bus.
Okay, well, I took it once.
Okay.
I took it and had a great time. I used the transfer. I did everything properly.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was a hit.
Think in terms of the mid-1980s.
Okay, the mid-1980s. Okay, I did a show of WPA Feathertop, which I loved, but the critics didn't. And Just So?
No, you're just so wrong about that. No, nope, okay. That's not how you know me.
Now we're getting into the mid-80s.
Yes, yes, 84, 85, 86, 87.
Okay, Stardust?
No, but I did see you in that on Broadway.
Okay.
And that was also a short-lived... It was a tribute to... Was it Van Heusen? Who was the...
Mitchell Parrish.
Mitchell Parrish, sorry.
Who wrote Stardust and you know, Stars Fell in Alabama and Moonlight Serenade and all those things. It was a great... It was like a huge hit off Broadway. And then we moved it to Broadway, and it wasn't as huge a hit. But, you know, I think we got 3 months of work out.
Okay.
Boy, Dave, you've stumped me.
The reason I did this, and it's also not like I'm trying to dip into some of the real weird, obscure, and Goodspeedy things. I mean, obviously Stardust was on Broadway and Leather Shoes, but I thought this was one of the, this would be right up there with the hits that you remember.
Olympus on My Mind.
Thank you.
Okay.
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 Took us only, what was it, 10 minutes so far?
Well, Olympus on My Mind was a great experience.
Well, I'm glad it was.
I loved it. It was actually kind of my first hit show that I was ever in.
Exactly, dude.
Okay.
Did you move with it to Broadway, or were you just in the off-Broadway?
Well, I was in the off-off-Broadway, and then I moved with it to off-Broadway.
Okay.
At Broadway prices. No, what did they call it? Broadway at off-Broadway prices.
That's right.
Now, what did you do on it?
I believe it or not, and I was completely, well, the word would not be miscast, misplaced, but I was the box office kid, the sort of box office guy who was selling tickets on the phone, seating people, and trying to keep people cool in a non-air-conditioned theater in the middle of July. And we were feeding them popsicles and like, running the air conditioner in intermission because we had to turn it off during the show because it was too loud and drowning everything out.
Are you shorter than me?
This is the one question you want to ask. Am I shorter? Yes. I'm shorter than a lot of people.
Okay. And were you manning the bar as well?
We had a bar? Well, yes, yes. It was a non-alcoholic bar. I had to get soda. We used to go to the
Nazarene
Super
Church.
No, it was at the Actors Playhouse on 120 West 28th Street.
Oh, at the Actors Outlet.
Outlet, excuse me.
You weren't at the Lambs.
No, I didn't transfer with it to the Lambs.
You know, I kind of had an out-of-body experience at the Actors Outlet. It was a really peculiar experience.
Why?
If I see, well, you know, we did the workshop of Olympus on My Mind. It was called Heaven on Earth.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah, well, that was one of the main songs in the show.
Yeah, Heaven on Earth, Heaven on Earth. And we did a workshop of it, and it was not a great hit. Then they rewrote the whole thing. We did all these backers auditions, and they wrote a character for Faith Prince in it. And they kind of added this subplot of this girlfriend, non-talented girlfriend of the producer of Olympus on My Mind. And they added this funny character, and all of a sudden the show just, like, came to life.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I lost you there for a minute.
Oh, you lost me?
Yeah. All of a sudden the show what?
Oh, all of a sudden the show came to life. Once they added this character for Faith Prince, it went great. And but we were so kind of convinced that the show was going to be a turkey, so it was a very kind of distressing experience, like the rehearsals, and we didn't know if her character was going to work, and nobody kind of knew. And then all of a sudden we opened, and it was just this big hit, and it was really exciting.
Yeah.
Really exciting. How could I forget you?
Well, it was a good, you won't even remember me now, that's what's good.
Well, I'm sure that I will. But no, we weren't there very long, and I think I was making like $1.50 a week.
Making $1.25 or something like that. Anyway, it was kind of, you know, people were, as you said, people expected it to be a flop, so maybe that's why the vibe was not good
until
you know, the reviews came out, and then suddenly, you know, people started showing up, and it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And even then the vibes weren't good, but probably got a lot better when it transferred.
Well, it did, because then we were making, I think, you know, then we started making like $600 a week or something, which, you know, for me, it was $1 million a week at that point. But I remember one day I was going to work, it was during the previews, and I was going to work down on 28th Street, and there were all, do you remember this? There were all these fire trucks on 28th Street, and I was praying that the theater had burnt down.
Oh, my God!
It was that tough an experience. That was really, it was a very tough experience.
Well, I thought I was, like, in the middle of it. I was so shielded from whatever.
See?
Yeah.
I'm glad you escaped it all.
And
then, you know, then it opened, and then once it was a hit, it was great. Then we moved to the Lambs. It was very exciting. We were all making money. Everybody felt good about their lives, and it was fun to go work. I loved the Lambs Theater. It was a great place. But then the kind of scandalous thing was that, you know, it was also a Nazarene church. And it was Nazarene, right? I think it was Nazarene.
Something like that. It's a tame show, though.
It was, well, but it said there was a big quote underneath, you know, when you walked into the theater. And it said, it was like hanging from the marquee. It said, Naughty Musical Comedy Fun, New York Times.
Yeah.
And there was actually a big article about how they were all praying that our show would close because they thought this was so risque that we were having kind of this musical theater sex romp at this, you know, sacred church. So they were disappointed. You know, I think the show ran like 9 months there or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's when you get in bed with a whatever. I mean, I'm married now, and my wife has very strong issues about where she's going to be teaching. She just got her PhD.
Mm.
And there are certain universities of a Catholic or a Christian bent that she has very serious reservations about if she were ever to go to teach there because she could only speak her mind to some extent about certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to be censored as a teacher. She doesn't feel she should be.
Yeah.
But if you go to any school with a saint before its name, you know, or a father something before his name.
Yeah, it's pretty specific.
Yeah, the rules are kind of tight. Anyway, that's what I wanted to get to about the whole Olympus on My Mind thing. So that's where we
reunited.
Met a few times. Now, where were you since then? I mean, I kind of know. But then you started really getting into the cabaret scene just as much as the theater scene.
Well, yeah. You know, I actually really got into the I started doing shows at Rainbow and Stars. Remember all those great shows they did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Paul and... Oh, awful, I'm having a moment. A midlife moment. What was his name? Greg something. Anyway,
Burge? Greg Burge, maybe? Or no?
No, but I loved him. No, he was a producer, and the two of them produced these reviews at Rainbow and Stars, and I did one of the first ones. It was a Rodgers and Hart show with Elaine Stritch,
ooh,
Margaret Whiting, and Judy Kuhn.
Holy cow!
I know, and I was the referee. And
Wait. All right, now, you can't just say that and leave it there. Was it tense backstage, or were they all really lovable and supportive?
Well, I won't say it was warm and cuddly.
Okay.
The rehearsal period. But once we opened, and everybody saw that this show was like something really spectacular, it was truly one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it was to work with those three women. You know, Margaret Whiting singing Bewitched was, you know, it was flawless. I mean, you know, she no one does that style these days, and she owns it, and it was just phenomenal to get to see that every night, and to see Elaine Stritch, and I had a duet with her. We sang a song from On Your Toes, and she did this version of 10 Cents a Dance, like she was in an insane asylum or something, and it was wild. But and Judy Kuhn and I just kind of held on to each other for dear life. But it was an incredible experience. You felt like you were at a party at Cole Porter's house or something in the 40s, you know?
Wow.
And it was really great. And everybody was very well behaved and very decent, and you know, it was a great experience. And then I did another one with Kay Ballard. I did an Irving Berlin show with Kay and Liz Calloway and Ron Raines, and we just had...
Well, Ron Raines, again, an Olympus on my mind alumnus, so there you go.
That's right. My dad. Now he's a soap star.
Yeah.
Hello, you listeners out there in Radio Land. This is Jason Graw. Perhaps you've heard of me. I'm a famous cabaret singer, even though that's a bit of an oxymoron. But I am not a moron, and I'm telling you to tune in to WGBB Dave's Gone By. Tune in now.
In retrospect, do you prefer doing theater or cabaret, or do you really like mixing them up?
I really do like mixing them up. I have to say, you know, I live in Los Angeles now, and... you know, I've been doing a lot of cabaret concert work.
Right.
And I've been doing a lot of TV out here, which is great, fun. And I like the residual checks a lot. I am getting a little spoiled about, like, you know, this summer I had to do 8 shows a week. And it was like, God, that's a hard schedule. You know, we did, like, one of those Saturdays, 2 shows
yeah.
on Saturdays, and then 2 shows on Sunday. I thought, I did this for 15 years, you know, and I still love doing it, and I do enjoy in the theater that you don't have to drum up your own business and worry about, you know, people coming there, and you can blame the material if it doesn't go well. You know, there are certain definite advantages to being in the theater.
Now, when you said that you're, amazingly enough, living in L.A., your career then is also doing, I mean, this I had no idea about this until I Wikipedia'd you or wherever your bio was, but you are apparently the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
Well, Dave, I was.
Oh, no!
Yes.
You aged out of leprechauniness?
I did not age out of it.
Well, what happened?
I definitely did not age out of it. I don't think one does age out of leprechaunism, except from the guy that did it. And then I replaced him. It was the same guy for 35 years or something.
Well, Arnold Stang did the B for Cheerios for God knows, like 5 decades or something. Until finally...
he never has to work again.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. Well, especially in his 90s, I think, so he ain't gonna. So, oh,
wow.
But you were the luck... Can you
yes,
say...
I was.
Can you say the thing, the magically delicious or whatever you used to say in your way?
Send me 8 magical marshmallow shapes. It's magically delicious. Thank you both.
Yeah. That was actually a better performance than I've ever seen you giving anything. I'm moved. I'm touched. And that doesn't denigrate your other performances. It just means that's how special that really was.
I don't know, Dave. You just really inspire me to do my best work. Something about you.
So,
well, you know,
yeah.
What happened was I got the job in New York, and then I was doing The Voice in New York, and it was great because there were like 4 commercials a year because they would keep introducing a new shape, you know. Keep the kids interested in new shapes. So I did inaugurate the rainbow and the pot of gold shape. And anyway, then I moved to L.A., and I would do my part in L.A., and the kids were in New York. They would phone patch me in.
Uh-huh.
All the clients, the director, the kids were all in the studio in New York, and then I was in L.A., and I would do my part there, and it was like crazy. the miracle of modern science.
Absolutely.
And then a whole new crew came in, and they wanted me to fly back to New York to do the gigs, and I was doing the Los Angeles production of Ragtime out here for a year, and I couldn't fly back, so I had to let Lucky go.
Oh.
It was an unlucky time of my life, because now I only eat Trix.
I hope you mean the cereal, but you know...
I really do.
Well, we only have about a minute left with the wonderful Jason Gras, and by the way, you are immediately and automatically invited to return. There's no question about
Thank
that.
Thank you. It was just the tip of the iceberg, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But a hilarious and marvelous tip. It's like the foreskin of the iceberg, as a matter of fact. Which has already made me forget my last question.
Oh, my God.
Well, now you're currently...
I feel so close to you.
You're going to be at Birdland.
Yes.
On tweet, October... Tweet. Oh, sorry?
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet. Birdland.
Yes.
And actually,
I'm not a jazz singer.
But you'll do your usual cabaret. What are some of the songs that you're doing in your show now?
Well, I'm doing, yes, I'll be at Birdland, what is it, the 21st and 22nd of October.
Correct.
And, which is a week from tonight and tomorrow, actually. And I am going to be, this is my show called Gras Anatomy.
Uh-huh. I get it. You've also done Coup de Gras, and what else have you done with them?
Coup de Gras, Gras Anatomy, and this is my third, actually. The other one was An Evening of Self-Indulgence.
Well, the other one, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. It was what?
An Evening of Self-Indulgence.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you. And it's really, that's what a cabaret act really is, isn't it?
Pretty much.
But,
and people, if you see the cover on the CD that they sent me, there's one that you did at the Singer Grill. I have that one at home. And the press people, I think Susan Schulman was kind enough to send me the CD of one of your covers. And you were at the gym for about a year before that cover, I assume.
No, I was just born that way, Dave. There's a lot of airbrushing, actually.
If you want to see Jason Gras airbrushed in a very interesting manner, well, place
man,
what is the name of that
man
CD?
Man being the operative word.
Well, yeah. What's the name of that CD? I don't have it in front of me, so...
You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile.
And does that lead us to a place where people can buy that? Like, do you have a website and stuff?
I do have a website, although it's funny, it doesn't connect into mine. It's on, I don't... You have to go to Finsworth Alley. It was recorded on Barrett Saraband. I don't know. I think it's still on Amazon. And if you go to the FinsworthAlley.com or something, it's available there.
Very cool. And of course, people can go see Jason at Birdland. Yeah, you were going to say some of the songs that you were...
Oh, yeah. So I'm doing songs by John Bacchino, and who I just think is a miracle of modern composing, and Jerry Herman. Because I've been spending a lot of time with Jerry Herman these days, so I'm got some stories about him, and I'm singing a song from the Grand Tour.
How is Jerry doing, by the way?
He's doing really well. We were just at the Kennedy Center, but 2 weeks ago. He's really doing quite well. And there's a documentary that's coming out on PBS in the winter called Words and Music, and it's absolutely spectacular, and not just because I'm in it.
Okay.
It's just one of those things where it's just like he speaks so candidly, and there's all this amazing footage from his old shows, and it's so thrilling to hear. You really do wish it would just go on for 5 hours.
Wow.
So much information.
But enough about Jerry Herman. Let's get back to what this interview is about.
Oh,
me.
That's right. How we know each other.
Well, I think we've definitely traversed that. Mm-hmm. What else are you doing besides the cabaret stuff? And is there some place we can catch you on TV, or are you going to be rehearsing for a show?
Well, I've been doing a lot of operas the last
opera.
Couple of years. So there's just, I have nothing coming up on TV except for reruns. I did 3 episodes on 6 Feet Under, which was like, you know, really quite exciting, because I don't know if you love that show, but...
Yeah, I saw the whole thing from, like, renting it from the library, because I didn't catch it on the regular thing. So which character were you? Gosh.
Oh, thanks for remembering me.
Well, it was a few months ago when I watched it.
Okay. Maybe you were sipping the brewski a little bit?
Probably. It was a little too many O'Doulses.
They really have a kick, don't they?
Yeah, it would be 15 of them. So, but wait, you were in a corpse then, because you were on 3 episodes. What were you?
Yeah. I was, do you remember when David, Michael C. Hall, joined the Los Angeles Gay Men's Chorus?
Right, yes, you were in that group, I remember.
Well, I was the conductor. I played Dennis, who was the conductor of the Gay Men's Chorus. A little pissy and a little over the top, but I think I can tap into those emotions pretty easily.
Great. Well, I'm sorry, a couple of things are going on in the studio, which means that I have to let you go, Jason.
Well, I'm so glad that you held on to me in the first place.
Aww.
Now, let me go.
It's been an absolute pleasure and an absolute joy. And as I said, seriously, because we really did just scratch the foreskin of the iceberg. So thank you.
I'm saying foreskin, it's just so, I don't know, it's just really unnerving and yet slightly provocative.
Well, there you go. That's the nature of this program. Jason Graf, thanks so much for being in the neighborhood.
Thank you for having me in the neighborhood.